Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you give here this afternoon will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I swear.
Thank you. Have a seat.
What you're listening to there is the asylum hearing of Estrella Perez Mendoza, a transgender woman from El Salvador. Speaking through a court translator, she tells the judge that she left her home country because she was afraid for her safety.
Me dijeron que podría en el camino ser secuestrada.
They told me I could be kidnapped during this trip.
Violada.
Raped.
O obligada nuevamente a prostituirme.
Or forced into prostitution again.
The judge in that case said there was enough evidence to grant Mendoza asylum. But others like her aren't as lucky. Last weekend, Joanna Medina Leon, another trans woman, died in an El Paso hospital from HIV complications shortly after being released from ICE custody. She had complained of chest pains for weeks, a friend said in a statement, but was denied medical attention. Navigating the asylum system is challenging for many, but for a transgender woman, it can sometimes be life-threatening. Alice Driver is a freelance journalist based in Mexico City, and that recording from the courtroom comes from her work for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. I asked Alice what stuck out to her about the story of Joanna Medina León's death.
One thing I really want to point out in terms of the way that her death has been treated is that when ICE officials talked about her death, they, first of all, they called Medina illegal and an alien, which is part of a long-term plan of this administration to criminalize legal asylum seekers, because Medina was an asylum seeker and she passed a credible fear interview and she was waiting for her asylum case. And so this is something that's really worrying, and that we've seen these terms like illegal and alien used in other cases where people are actually asylum seekers, which is an international right. And so that's something that's really worrying about her case.
Alice, you've spent a long time with other trans women from El Salvador as they go through their asylum proceedings. Tell us what that experience is like.
So since July of 2017, I've followed two trans women from El Salvador through the entire asylum process. One of those trans women is received asylum and lives in San Diego. Her name is Michelle. And the other trans woman, who also lives openly with HIV, received asylum in Switzerland. So I have seen the way that Switzerland treats asylum seekers versus the way that U.S. treats asylum seekers, and there's a big difference.
And tell us a little bit about that difference.
So Carla Avalar, who is a human rights activist from El Salvador, who is well known for her human rights work, due to death threats, ended up seeking asylum in Switzerland. And because she's well known, she had support to get asylum in Switzerland. But I went to see her last October as part of a story that I'm working on. And she, first of all, she and her mother were seeking asylum in Switzerland. They were provided housing. So unlike asylum seekers in the U.S., they weren't sent to detention. They also, both of them were provided with medical treatment. So Carla has told me that the medical treatment in Switzerland has been absolutely amazing, that not only have they been, respectful and kind, but they've also treated issues specifically related to the trans community. And that's something that trans asylum seekers in the U.S. clearly aren't seeing at all.
Alice, what is the difference in how the asylum process is for trans women versus cisgender women?
Michelle, the trans woman who I followed through the asylum process in the United States, after she crossed the border to request asylum, which is her legal right, she was immediately sent to a all-male detention center, which is one of the immediate main problems with how ICE is treating specifically trans women. And one of the things that Michelle experienced that also was present in the case of Joanna Medina was that Border Patrol agents told Joanna Medina, for example, that she was not trans, and they told her that she was a man. So in this system, you have agents who are telling trans women, they're misgendering them, they're telling them, you're a man. And there's a lot of discriminatory language and practices. But the more worrying thing is that For example, when I talked to Michelle in detention, she told me, I know I'm at a greater risk for violence and sexual assault. And she was there for 7 months.
And I'm wondering, when your some of your interview subjects were placed in detention with men, how did they cope?
Well, so Michelle, when I talked to her on the phone, first of all, it's very difficult to tell these stories because I was following Michelle. By the time she arrived in detention, it took me a long time to identify where she was. And also I had to write her a letter because in order to communicate with her in detention, that was the only way that I was allowed to communicate with her. I wrote her a letter, included my phone number, and then she called me because I put money on, we all know calls out of detention are extremely expensive. I put money on her detention phone call system. So she called me. And she actually broke down crying when we were talking on the phone. And she said that she had experienced violence. And she said, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to be re-traumatized. And that's something that I respect. You know, as a reporter, I know that it's very likely that she was assaulted or potentially raped. But if she doesn't want to talk about that, I'm not going to make her open up that wound.
That's good reporting practice generally. Are there any positive stories about where these women ultimately ended up?
Well, in the case of Michelle, she does have a positive story because after 7 months in a male detention center, she did go to her asylum hearing and she had a female judge who was, the asylum hearing was incredibly emotional and the judge listened to her story. And in the case of most trans women, they have experienced incredible violence. And they do have documentation, whether that be hospital records or police records. And so in the case of Michelle, she did have a lot of documentation. And the judge said, I can see that you have a credible reason to request asylum, and that if you do get sent back to El Salvador, you will likely die, and therefore I grant you asylum. And so her case was very moving and just a reminder of the reasons why asylum exists. And she's now living in San Diego. She's studying English at a community college, and she works at a pizza restaurant. And I just talked to her the other day on Facebook, and for me, her story is just, that's the kind of person that I want to be living, to be living and working in the United States in a productive and loving and thoughtful citizen.
Alice Driver is an immigration reporter based in Mexico City, and she followed the journeys of a number of trans women through the U.S. asylum system. Alice, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.